This is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 496. I'm Adam, and oh my god, I'm the Tin Dog. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Affirmative, Master.
And Debbie Melrose.
Is that a Krillitane?
Yeah, I'm going to get that word wrong for the whole of this show. I'm just going to pre-warn you that I will be getting that word wrong, because I keep on thinking in my mind Toclophane, because it's a similar sort of word.
No, they're completely different.
I know they're completely different.
It's fine, she does that.
Who does that?
Is adding another quote.
Did I ask for one?
No.
No, exactly.
You guys are going to be mischief today. We haven't got Mary. Mary's enjoying a Mother's Day.
Yeah, well, happy Mother's Day for those that don't have Mother's
Day. Did I hear a cat?
I nearly got the whole greeting out to those that don't have Mother's Day on the day the Mother's Day should be on. So I apologise. I'm not on behalf of Kirby, who did the interruption. So
I think technically my cat interrupted first. She likes your voice, Adam, remember? She won't leave me alone.
Oh, dear. Anyway, right. Lillian Robin says... there you are. I don't know what I mean. It was only 1 minute late. And then get on with it. Get on with what?
Oh, 10 minutes late, my dear.
And Brandon Moore says, evening lads and ladettes. Yes.
Evening.
You don't mind being called a ladette, do you, Debbie?
Not at all. It sums me up, mainly.
Really? Actually, when we went to vote for Richard Quigley the other day, I saw you meandering past the library. I was waving at you, but no, just ignore me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's fine. Just ignore me.
I know you.
There's so few people on the Isle of Wight. You should notice everyone.
We were kind of trying to ignore the guy sat in the chair.
Yeah, the bloke who was canvassing for votes and failed dismally because Richard Quigley won. Right then.
Yeah, we voted for Richard too.
Good. Hang on, where's mid bell? Oh, I accidentally pressed it. Then I was dragging it over from its little corner. This week, listeners, it is essentially our 11th birthday episode, because next week will be longer away from our birthday than this week is, if that makes sense. So the birthday's on Wednesday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's 4 days.
Really?
So essentially, this is our birthday episode.
So let me check something here.
Jesus Christ.
So, the birthday of the episode is the 12th?
Yes.
Because you realize that is the 12th is also May the 12th, 1980, is when I first saw Doctor Who.
Oh, we didn't know that.
41 years ago.
Thank you for that, Kirby.
41 years of this nonsense.
Happy birthday to us.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to play for that one.
I was two.
Oh, I was, what year was it? 14 in 1980. 14, yes. It was my 14th birthday. But, of course, it goes completely over everybody's heads. Podcast birthday. Kirby's anniversary of Doctor Who. But the fact that it's my 55th birthday, oh, that doesn't matter at all, does it?
No. Happy birthday.
And I'm looking forward to putting my PlayStation in place and having a day of PlayStationing. Brandon says, was it the Hand of Fear by any chance, Kirby? Excellent.
Right. Why, yes, it was.
You didn't have to. It's a rhetorical question. Right, let's close that bit down so I can see.
I might have mentioned at some time that it was the Hand of Fear, and I had no idea that companions left.
One of our advisors will be with you as soon as possible.
Oh, sorry, back again, sorry. Right then. School reunion begins with that bloke from Buffy wandering down the stairs with his sort of... I don't know, he's holding something under his arm. It looks like a cane or something. It's a very sort of brigadier... The way his posture is. And he stops
after.
By... Oh, Jesus.
You got so close to doing a sentence.
When I first saw this, I had never seen either Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Merlin.
Right. He's also the Prime Minister in Little Britain. But anyway, I'm going to lean back in my chair just for a few more moments and just savour the thought of watching Murder on CCTV later on tonight.
I've got Little Britain DVD upstairs, but I've never been able to make it through because somehow I
Someone
don't like...
interrupts you, I suppose.
No.
No, okay.
Master. Mm. David Tennant on the commentary mentions that the color of the walls in the school, particularly this area, are the exact same puke green that they use for the CSO.
Marvelous.
So they could have completely wiped out all the walls and put something behind them.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. I forgot what I was going to say now. What was I saying, Deb?
You were talking about Anthony Head walking through the school and...
I know, we were talking about Little Britain, and I was just thinking, when he said about getting Little Britain, I bought the whole set when they started talking about how un-PC it was. I thought, oh, it was really funny, though, so I actually downloaded the whole lot. I felt really sorry for that, Lucas.
I loved the first season of it, but then when they started bringing in all the puke and pee, I wasn't so keen, but the smart stuff, the real smart comedy involved in it as well, was just brilliant.
So anyway, the headmaster, Anthony Headmaster, I bet Kirby didn't pick up on that one, did he? There's a young girl who he soon discovers this comes from an old people's home, so she won't be missed apparently, because of course, old people's home. What? That's your fault, Kirby, for confabulating me. From a children's home. Apparently they don't miss their children at children's homes, I was trying to say. Anyway, invites her into the office.
And apparently they don't have nurses at the children's home that she could have told and, like, gone back there.
Possibly. I don't know. Anyway, she goes into the office and a woman screams. It's really quite weird. I thought there would have been a little girl going, eek! But no, a woman screamed out. I mean, I said to Deb, it's very odd, isn't it? A little girl, did she sort of suddenly grow up and then scream?
She suddenly achieved, it was traumatic puberty.
Oh, I like that one.
Sorry.
That was good. Right then, so then there's a scene of some children running, doing what they're not supposed to do, as teachers always say, stop running in the corridors, stop running up and down the stairs, and stuff like that.
It just makes me think of the Peter Kay skit on teachers. It's one of the most brilliant observations of English teaching that I've ever seen.
That bell is for you, not me.
What are you doing swanning about?
Wipe that smirk off your face or I'll wipe it off for you. Anyway, so this
little... Everybody look at the board while I go through it.
Right, so a little boy, a bespectacled boy, is running very quickly.
I think he's a sweetheart.
Into his class because he's late. And who's the teacher? It's old John Smith.
Yes, he's in disguise in his brainy specs.
Physics.
Yes, but it's very good considering it does make a good teacher. And of course, he played the teacher in a sketch for the Catherine Tate show.
Catherine Tate, yes.
And that got wonderful. A reprise quite recently via a Skype-y, Zoom-y sketch, which they did together.
I'm sorry that COVID made me miss out on meeting Catherine Tate.
I didn't miss out. She was going to
be the guest of honor at Con Casturberus.
No, I got my picture taken with her at Wales Comic Con a couple of years ago, Kirby. It's up on my wall up there. Oh, sorry. So this class, the doctor is able to show that the kids are a little bit brainier, one specific kid, a little bit brainier and cleverer.
Milo.
Then they should be. Oh,
then they should be. Yeah, I like that. Then they should be.
Yes. Kirby was going to say something.
His
name was Milo, and they cut out part of the story where the doctor keeps questioning Milo and burns his brain out, which is why Milo failed that teacher, the reference later on.
Oh, okay.
He's on packed lunch. He won't eat the chips. That's why.
It keeps making me hungry this episode.
That's not Milo. That's Kenny.
No, Deb and I were watching this, and every time
you see how much went into my head. I do apologise.
No, we saw that, and obviously when the chips, for one, they do not look like school chips. They look like chip chop chips that they've sort of shipped
they
in
look
and chucked
good
in.
So.
Great. They look like the best chips you had, even in a chippy.
Yeah.
When I watched this the other day with Fred, she and I looked at each other and said, "As soon as we're finished watching, we're gonna go make some French fries." And then we discovered we didn't have any, so we had to make tater tots.
Oh, just go off to Cloud Nine and get some. Oh, come on. Don't talk of my Cloud Nine reference.
I really don't know. I asked a couple of weeks.
Right, that's it. I'm sorry. That's going to get... No, sorry. It gets one of them talking over my Cloud Nine reference.
Tater tots, they're... Think of... It's a formed...
So is it mashed potato shaped into something?
No, it's not. They're not mashed. They're
are they basically, what do you call them? The hash browns, but just rolled into one.
Correct. Correct.
Sorry, I had to find out. It's been bothering me.
Well, you know, I had to look up what an aspo was because the doctor.
Oh, we're back now, sorry. Right then, yes, so the chips look like the chips you would get from a fish and chip shop. And, of course, we're looking at those chips and thinking, chips. And the chips, we keep driving past that chip shop in Wootton, who do very, very nice chips. Shouldn't really eat them. It's a shame because that chip shop... Hang on! That chip shop down the road, Chip Ahoy, used to do fab chips. Last time we went up there, a bit too greasy. Yes!
How much would a serving of chips be? Because I noticed that Rose pays £2 for a serving.
This was filmed in 2006. I think about £2.50.
About that, Adam, isn't it?
About £2.50?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, about £2.
Brandon Moore says, traumatic puberty is a great band name.
You can have it. Anybody's allowed that one.
That's what she said. Right then. Back to the chips. So Rose is serving chips and other stuff, which you would not, or Jamie Oliver has forced people, not the schools, not to serve stuff like this anymore. So this is quite romantic in a way, a romantic thought that children could eat what they blimmin' well wanted at school. The trouble is that with Jamie's little plan of making things nice and healthy for children is that a lot of children go to school either with their packed lunchbox with things in they're not allowed to eat, and then that gets confiscated. So most of the time they don't eat anything at all at school anymore.
That's what my youngest daughter did for the last couple of years of high school.
What?
She would not eat anything during the day.
Anyway, the doctor and Rose are undercover. Apparently. Something's afoot at this school, as we said earlier on, regarding, you know, the clever children and stuff. Rose decides to sit at the table with the doctor and munch on a couple of chips. And chips have been a theme for Rose since the beginning of this new Doctor Who, because, you know, they've gone to chip shops and stuff. It's been a theme that Rose likes chips. Her snarky boss, is that the right word? Comes up and tells her off because she's having a bit of a
scarf. I think snarky definitely sums her up.
And she has to go back to work. Meanwhile, one of the creepy teachers leans over a young girl and the lad with the glasses, whose name I forget.
Kenny.
Me? It's not me.
Kenny.
Pardon?
Kenny.
He blew up the school.
Oh, no, they've killed Kenny.
Anyway, what I liked about that, because this is a very quick scene, the creepy teacher leads over Kenny and girl and says the girl must go to a lesson now. It's blooming lunch break, for God's sake, but he's hungry. But in the background, you can see David
Extra
Tennant.
Extra lessons, isn't it great?
But David Tennant watching, which I've never noticed, but where I've paused this picture, it's quite a cool little framed shot, and he's munching on a chip that's stuck to a plastic fork. But then the next shot, the chip disappears. There must be something timey-wimey going on here. So Kirby's going to love this scene. So creepy teacher comes up to kids' table, right? this one, Kirby. 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Right.
I'm watching.
Here comes Creepy Teacher. Right. He leans over kids in background.
Extreme pedantry.
Doctor with chip on fork is munching away. The next shot, back to Doctor. Chip's disappeared. It's suddenly in his mouth. And then it's a bit of weird editing. Anyway, I suppose it didn't really matter.
Well, speaking of weird editing, just wait until later on.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, a lot of the shots of Anthony Head's headmaster, heads, are slightly Batmanish. You know, the sort, because he's evil. They turn the camera. It's the camera on its side. Meanwhile, Rose spots the delivery of a very strange container, which I suppose is what this fat that makes the kids. They fry the chips in that makes the kids better.
Oil.
Yes. And she gets a phone call from Mickey, who's doing some covert stuff via Torchwood. And of course, what do we get? This secret organization flashes up on the screen. Torchwood access denied to stop anybody trying to hack into their systems. Of course, great bit of covert work there by Torchwood. Might have to have a word with them about trying to keep their name a bit more secret.
Master? Yeah, the name might be a bit better to try it.
Master, may I answer a question that was asked 9 years ago during our recording? The people were wondering why Mickey, who are these other people who are with Mickey? It's either an internet cafe or a library.
I was not wondering that. Were you wondering that, Debbie?
Not at all.
Actually, you were. You were asking that.
Well, I'm certainly not wondering it now.
I was gone 9 years ago, so past friend.
Anyway, so that Torchwood access denied thing, that really just needed to say access denied, didn't it? But of course, they had to put the Torchwood thing in there because there's a new series coming up with JB. I'm talking about JB. I'm going to say this now because I'm going to forget later on. Did anybody see, Debbie, the front page of The Sun on Sunday?
No.
John Barrowman they're saying that John Barrowman must be sacked from ITV because he goes naked backstage. Now, he's always gone naked backstage. It's all sorts of funny stories of him getting his bits out backstage.
Yeah, it's been a bit, because of what's going on with, obviously, with Noel at the moment, it's suddenly rife, everything about
it. It's John Barrowman.
It's John Barrowman. He gets his willy out.
Yes.
That news even made it here, so...
Yeah, it's become a big thing. I know it's...
It's become a big thing!
No, it's not acceptable behaviour.
I do wish Ben was on at that time.
That's exactly the sort of thing he would do. He'd just stand there with it out, and then he got told off
shed by standing by.
By production, and he stopped doing it. Yes, Leia, it is a big thing, yeah.
Oh dear, that's funny. So I'm just going to retrieve a shoveler. Oh dear.
Come here now. How far in are we, by the way?
Well, I'm about 3 metres away from the front door. How about you? How far are you? You're right down in the basement.
We're reviewing. What's that all over your tail, you weirdo?
Oh, I don't know. Probably crumbs. Probably ate my dinner a bit too quick.
Been in the bar.
By the way, Master, have you checked your recording levels?
Anyway, I'm just delighted to be able to welcome a certain person who's in a shed, Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Oh, his new shed. Hi, Ben.
And he's forgot to turn his audio on.
No, actually.
What? Free shed shoveler,
he was pretending not to be here.
that's exactly what it was. Yeah. it wasn't a case of totally forgetting to turn on the... 48 volt thingy button. I have to make the microphone work.
I did notice your comment that says waiting.
Turned my direct monitor on or plugged my headphones in. So I was really not ready at all when I said I was.
Well, you said you were waiting.
I was waiting, but that didn't mean I was ready.
We should. Never mind. Right then. Okay. Where do we get up to?
I know what I should have done, Adam, but I didn't.
Yeah, we're just talking about John Barrowman's bits and Debbie. What did you say, Debbie, about John's bits?
I said it was quite a big thing.
Yeah, quite a big thing. She was obviously alluding to the newspaper, but Kirby obviously saw something more in the comment. Yeah.
It's all a little bit funny, that, isn't it? Because I think it was well known that John Barrowman was a little bit
saucy.
A bit. What's the word for it? A bit of an not an extrovert. What are you talking? When they you're always getting your bits out. Exhibitionist, isn't it?
Exhibitionist.
So he is a major exhibitionist.
And you know, it gets to the point though where you know, 15 years ago it was fine. Now, 15 years later, people now complain about it. What can you do?
It's ridiculous.
And Bad Wolf, he was completely naked when filming
and
that.
And he loved it.
And he also had his
body.
What I thought. Do you know what I thought when I saw that?
He said he had it as well.
Those people who are demanding he gets kicked off ITV, and I don't think you're too bothered about that, but what are they going to do if ITV buys the rights to Naked Attraction? They're going to have all sorts of issues there, aren't they? Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Right then, so we're at school reunion, and Mickey has had his access to Torchwood's computer thingy denied. And because there's been what we forgot to mention was, of course, that they've been noticed, these Toclophane. Is that what they're called? No,
Krillitane.
I thought we were going to get confused. They've been noticed, and they're basically they're trying to.
It's not Torchwood your fault. It's the fault of the writers getting names.
Torchwood are already probably looking at all this, but
They were going to call them Krillians, but. Apparently that name was used by something else.
Well, okay. Very memorably, obviously.
I suppose they could have said who wants to be a Krillian. So anyway, so Rose spots this big container of stuff, but it falls over.
Krillitane oil.
Whatever. It falls over, and one of the dinner ladies starts sort of sizzling and gets gets bundled into a cupboard.
Yeah, they take her into the office, close the curtains, and then bang.
Don't call an ambulance, she's fine. But
same
of course,
scream
they make sense of this scene later on in the story.
By the way, it's obvious that Rose dials 999.
Is it?
I'm assuming, yes. Oh, just watch her. I'm assuming that's a dead phone, so it doesn't actually call 999.
Oh, God. It's called acting. Anyway, right. And meanwhile, the kids are in a classroom full of computers, and they put some headphones on, and there's some strange sort of graphics and hieroglyphs and stuff are flashing over the screen over and over again.
I love those monitors.
They're what?
I love those modern monitors. You never see those things anymore.
You do in England.
Yeah, that's normal.
Especially in English schools.
Yeah. You can bet you
they're still being used somewhere.
There's quotes around modern, by the way.
And then the next scene, very exciting scene, if you're a Doctor Who fan, is a scene where the Prime Minister, stroke bloke from Buffy, stroke King Arthur's father.
Stroke Anthony Head for?
Haven't got to stroking his head yet.
whose head?
That's what she said. Anyway,
Don't you think Anthony Head looks like he could be Greg Davis's brother?
Yes. But anyway, he's having a conversation with Sarah Jane. What's Nick loved? He's a little lump in my throat in some of these things.
What happened to Kirby?
Oh, no. You're right. Call 999. Oh, no, 911.
Someone get an inhaler.
When I was watching with Fred, I made that same noise when she appeared on screen. And I do that every time I see this story.
I think you need to get some ointment for that, Kirby.
You should never make those noises with any children around.
Anyway.
Especially your own.
The Doctor, meanwhile, has a chat with the other teachers and finds that most of the staff were fired or whatever when the headmaster came in. And then he bumps in, all very excited and all very gooey he was when he saw Sarah Jane. It was this. Oh, bollocks. That didn't work.
I'm sure he didn't say that.
Let's try that again.
I didn't hear him say that.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes, very nice. More than nice. Brilliant.
Sarah Jane. Have you worked here long?
No, it's only my second day.
And it's just the way that first bit was. It reminded me of Kirby when his reaction to seeing Sarah Jane back on the telly.
Master. In the commentary, David Tennant does say that basically he's not acting there. He just was.
If he's not acting there, they need to dock his wages, Kirby, because that's what he's supposed to be doing. He's been paid to act. I'm appalled.
But he didn't have to act because he really was in absolute awe of being in the presence of Sarah Jane Smith.
Okay, Kevin. Right then. So, yeah, they have a lovely, charming little interaction. Meanwhile, the kids are sort of called to another one of their sort of weird brain... away from their little brainwashing sessions. And little Kenny has a peek around the classroom. He's not part of this because he doesn't like chips. So he doesn't eat the chips. So he's
not allowed because he's a little bit podgy and he's on special.
I don't think... If you're really trying to take over a school for this sort of reason, I don't think having a podgy child in there would... really stop you, would it? Anyway, he notices under one of the desks, I believe. Oh yeah, we notice under one of the desks, one of the Krillitanes, and then he stands up and it's creepy teacher.
That's a great scene.
He's very good actor, this bloke. He's very good at doing the creepy look, isn't he? And yeah, he legs it down the corridor, and but night falls, and they're going to hang around the school and have a poke around. And guess who else is having around the school, having a poke around? Yeah, Sarah. And she's looking through the corridors. And so is Mickey, Doctor, and Rose. And they find in one of the classrooms some sleeping bat-type creatures, which, of course, are these...
Master.
Ter.
Master.
What?
That's not a classroom. It says clearly... Headmaster's office.
Christ. Whatever.
Open the door. However,
la, 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 la. Yes.
It's not the same door as we saw in the pre-title sequence.
Oh dear.
Maybe the headmaster has two offices.
Thank you, Ben. I'm going to go with that one.
I mean, that's a really simple solution. I know,
it's my job to point these things out.
And it's my job to
say that. Yes. Anyway, well, I think we should play this. Stems on, he says Kirby is the tin dog, so I guess that makes him a bit disco.
I did take disco dancing lessons when I was about 16.
I thought he was a tin dog. Anyway, moving on. Right then, so pardon, Ben? Well, Ben said something. Did everybody else think?
No, I've said nothing. No, oh. No. I'm listening in awe. I'm not even acting.
Anyway, Sarah, poking through corridors, comes through a door. Inside the doors is this TARDIS. Of course,
my
a reaction.
My favourite
to...
scene.
It's not much a scene you can play back audio wise, because it's all done with acting. So she's stepping back.
When she says, "How do I know it's you?" and Mickey screams, and she goes, "Okay, now I know."
Yeah. But she's walking back. So camera work on that is really, really quite cool. She walks back, and the camera swings across in front of her to reveal the Doctor lit up beautifully, and almost like an angel in some ways. And then we can
like
play...
Like a time angel.
I don't know.
This scene.
They show the filming of that in The Confidential.
You're talking over it. Jane. You talked over it. Ah! Where do I get these presenters from? I did forget to put the rules in, didn't I? The new rules of not talking over special links that I put together.
I didn't know you were about to play
something. I did say this one. Right, I'll try again.
Hello, Sarah Jane.
It's you. Oh, Doctor. Oh, my God, it's you, isn't it? You've regenerated.
Yeah, half a dozen times since we last met.
It's very moving, especially now, obviously, since what happened to Elizabeth Sladen. I think both me and Deb watched that with a bit of a lump in our throats. And later on, there's a few little scenes like this that have a little bit of extra gravitas now. Anyway, it's a lovely scene between the two. And you do get the feeling, even though that Tennant and Sladen have only just met, that they have been old friends for many years. Yes!
May I be pedantic?
No.
Half a dozen times. At first you think, oh yeah, that counts up properly. Since they last met,
You
forget that she met five in the five doctors.
Right, okay.
Plus, how do you count four
doctors? David Tennant was pretending he was being Matt Smith.
Plus, there's how do you do the war doctor in there?
I'd like to think that when he said half a dozen times, he didn't feel like saying half a dozen minus one or two. I think he's just sort of rounding it to the nearest half dozen.
I think Toby was just quickly counting 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's a shame we can't get him back on the show.
It's a shame he didn't stop a little bit earlier, because that would have been a really good name for a step song.
Well, I'll tell you, if I could get Toby back on the show, you could ask him that question. Just remember to ask him if we do get him back on at some point. You never know.
And whatever you do, if we do ever get him back on, then make sure that you don't like accuse him of writing professional fan fiction.
Oh, stop it. I've already had him on the show back on. I didn't accuse him.
Yeah, Toby's fine. We've had him a couple of times, haven't
we? I beg your pardon? No, I did.
That's what he thinks.
I did actually speak to Toby about the what I said to Nick, but I can't remember what the answer was. Anyway, then we get this scene, which is always also quite funny.
Did you hear that? Who's she?
Rose, Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane Rose.
Hi. Nice to meet you. You can tell you're getting older. Your assistants are getting younger.
the very good band between.
This is the point though where they really underline the fact they want romance between Rose and the Doctor. This bit in the whole, series.
I think the whole thing of that falls apart when we've just talked about the Doctor walking up to Sarah Jane Smith like he's in love with her.
No, I know, but I'm just saying conversation at the cafe and everything. You know, you leave us. No, I'm not going to leave you.
I got more of this. It was more of a family thing. He was looking at her like a long lost child rather than he was in love with her.
Enamoured, but that is, as you say, David Tennant being absolutely overwhelmed by the fact he's actually acting.
Well, I know there's a bit of that.
Yeah.
But I just got the feeling that. A lot of the Doctor's long-term companions over the years, he obviously has a great bond with them, and he's a bit in awe of humans and humans that have got the talents or the qualities that his companions have, makes him very, very proud. And that's what I got of that. I didn't get a romantic connection. I think there might have been a hint of it the other way round in the way Sarah was sort of bemoaning being left behind and never another visit. But like Kirby said, there was an interaction in the Five Doctors after. Of course, she didn't get to see the Fourth Doctor in that, but she did get to see the Fifth Doctor, and she could perhaps have asked the Fifth Doctor at the time, but Terence Dix is probably not interested in putting that sort of claptrap into Doctor Who
Also, I'm trying to remember who she was with in Dimensions in Time. But I am trying to forget about it, Dimensions in Time.
Okay, well, we won't mention it then.
John Pertwee.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Anyway, they find a cupboard full of rats and... vac-packed rats, and which is a bit
random. So what do they use?
They've been eating people, haven't they? So why do they need the rats?
But what do they use for teaching dissection and anatomy?
Rats.
Yeah. Well, no.
What?
Because Rose said that they don't anymore.
Well, I did dissection on a couple of eyes of things and a heart.
Yeah, but that was back in the 1980s, wasn't it, Debbie?
No, that was in the 1990s. I didn't leave school till 1995, darling.
Why is she calling me darling? Oh.
I keep reminding you how little I am sometimes.
How little you are.
In the mid-70s, we did frogs, earthworms, and the advanced students did...
In the biblical sense?
Earthworms. How cool would that be?
It was. There was a test once where we went into the room and there were earthworms split open and we had to identify things.
Thank God they didn't have to put it back together.
We used to burn our initials into our wooden desks with our Bunsen burners.
Hey, I did that.
Anyway, so the Doctor and Rose and that...
Heating up the some of the metal while the Bunsen's going and just, drawing into it.
So they all find...
The other thing we used to do is warm up one of the legs of a tripod and then walk past someone you weren't particularly fond of and put it across the back of their neck.
Nice!
This time I'm not interrupting, Matt.
Right, anyway, so they find this the sleeping teachers, and then Sarah says to the doctor she's got something very, very exciting in her car.
Master.
The whole of news.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The doctor says he needs to analyze the krillotane oil. Jane suggests that she's got something in her car. By the way, she's changed her car.
The
one that she had it in the Five Doctors.
It was a mini metro. Yes, it was. She's hardly likely a mini metro.
And also, she's going to change it by the time Sarah Jane adventures.
People
starts.
Change their cars, Kirby. I don't.
Adam,
people do.
Adam,
yes.
You do know how to stop the pedantism, don't you?
By not doing a podcast about Doctor Who?
Then there won't be any problems.
Get it
right, mate. There won't be these interruptions.
Yeah, but that's getting it right in Kirby's eyes. That's not necessarily 100% getting it right all the time. Brandon Moore says, the 20 megabyte school days podcast. Back to Doctor Who. Yes, there's a lovely scene in which K-9 is revealed and the Doctor goes all gooey again because he's seen his old friend. And then we see a couple of lovely shots of the krillotane thingies flying around with the moon in the background. Very nice. Then they go to a cafe while the Doctor fixes K-9.
The krillotane went, go to a cafe?
I think it was a cafe.
I thought it was the Doctor who went to a cafe. You said the krillotane went to a cafe.
Oh, the Doctor. Not the krillotane.
They went outside because no pets allowed.
No, it was the
tied them up.
Sarah, Billy, and he called her. What's her name again?
Rose.
Rose, that's it. And Nikki and whatever, Doctor-y.
Dickie.
Anyway, they go to the cafe, and of course, what does Rose eat? Chips. And of course, there's a reference to if she keeps on eating chips, she won't be that appealing to the Doctor anymore. What?
Nothing. I just said can't get enough of the chips, she says. Yeah, can't get enough of them, she says.
So that's all right. You're basically saying I'm right. I'm going to go for that one.
You're making me want to make chips after we're done with this.
I think
I need chips now.
I'd love
to have
some chips.
I don't think you, though. I might have to make tater tots.
I'll make a peanut butter sandwich with my brand new...
Do they sell tater tots?
I nearly finished that sentence,
store?
Didn't I?
I think what? We call them something else here.
Call what something else?
Tater tots. I can't remember, but there is a name for them in British.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I have no idea.
No. That's all right. Continuation.
I eat a lot of food, and I don't know what you're talking about, dear boy.
can I go back to the show? I was just going to say that
we're in a cafe.
I was going to have a peanut butter sandwich because I'm never going to have chips. But I was going to make it with the bread out of my brand new bread making machine. It's not bread.
Yes,
here,
I saw the picture
hand.
Of that earlier
and
on the
it
book
was
of
delicious.
Faces.
Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt. In Britain, apparently, we call tater tots potato crunchies or croquettes. There you go.
Oh, I love croquette potatoes.
Yeah, that's a tater tot in America.
I go on and off croquettes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Tater tot is actually a brand name for whatever company invented them, because I watched a video a couple of weeks ago about the history of fried foods. I'm laughing over here.
And now I'm laughing here again.
Are we back yet? Oh, sorry.
You're just going up the list.
So they're not always called, you don't always call by tater tots, although everyone refers to them as that.
Just let me know when you're done, we'll get back on the show.
No, I won't be done for a long time after hearing someone actually say lies on the podcast. No, I watched a program on the history of fried food.
I also watched one on pickles.
Anyway, so...
I mean, that's bigger news than
so
the
K-9
phone.
Blew up the school and one, got done in, and Sarah Jane was given a new K-9, but refused the option to go off with them, and end of story. In the end, I have to say, plot aside... Thoroughly enjoy
second.
This. It's a really romantic story.
Whoa.
No, I'm sorry. You've had your chance.
It's
1947, and that's where we should be on the episode. So I'm leaving it there. Right. So it was the most romantic of the Doctor Who stories from that era. What?
I'll be quiet.
No, sorry. I've done that bit now. We're moving on to the end of the.
I know Mary's not here, but honestly, you don't have to strop.
I'm not stropping. Well, where do we get up to?
Some of the best bits.
No.
You're skipping some of the best bits in there.
Let me talk.
What about the face-off between the Doctor and the Headmaster?
That was quite a good bit, yeah. Exciting. So we can just talk about not this. So the face-off between the Doctor and Mr. Head, the Headmaster.
That was a very beautifully acted
scene, and it was almost like there was two great actors sort of going head to head.
Yeah, I am so old now. You've had one more. I can only give one warning. Consider that it. You know, it was just so threatening on both sides. It was just beautifully acting. No one giving an inch, and across the pool like that. The shot of it.
Yeah, it was beautifully filmed.
That was just the best scene in the whole of this.
Yep. Of course, the scene with Mickey and when he gets K-9 to wake up, and the K-9 says, "We are in a car," because the poor little boy Kenny's knocking at the door. He can't get out, so they drive the car quite safely through the glass windows of the door to. So
I've got escape. So many pedantic things I can say, and I'm afraid to say them.
Oh dear. And of course that. He goes up also into the school and unplugs all the computers. So I found quite interesting about that there was only one plug that was firing up all these computers. I thought there would have been a slight health and safety issue with the one plug.
Definitely run a room full of computers off one socket. Definitely. Yeah, sure.
Master.
What? Hello?
Make this a good one. Kirby, hold on. Before you start, Kirby, let me just lay it out for you, right? You're at the bottom of the ninth, okay? Two out. It's three balls, three strikes.
I'm upset. Okay.
Bases are loaded, Kirby.
And this is the final pitch of the game. You better go out swimming, boy.
Yeah. Sorry that something happened to upset Master that I'm not upset. Doing this normally.
I'm just moving on.
I wish we could continue. Anyway,
yeah.
One of my favorite discontinuities is in that scene where Mickey, you see all the children tapping away crazily at their keyboards, and they've all got the headphones on.
Yeah.
Mickey goes and unplugs, and suddenly all of the children are there, and the headphones are on the desks in front of them, and they stand up. They never take the headphones off.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Now, that would have been really quite funny if they hadn't and then got told to run.
Yes. Oh, no, because obviously if they had stood up with headphones on, then you'd have had 5 minutes of them going, "Oh, it's all caught around my chair."
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. They all
they should have done that. That would have been brilliant.
Most of them getting flicked backwards because they're still attached.
Also. Also.
Hold on.
Are you talking Japanese to me?
I think it's time for the spare.
Spare what?
Here comes the pinch hitter.
Oh, hang on, Shane. Yeah. I've got a piece of music for this. Kirby.
Take me out to the ball game. I love baseball, by the way.
That's fine.
Who's your team?
Kirby, I gave you a perfect introduction
where
there.
The host refuses to talk about the Doctor Who episode. Because someone really keeps on interrupting him with facts about the Doctor Who episode.
If I catch a game on, I watch it because it's on like really late at night some nights. But I don't actually...
What's this got to do with it?
What have we been just doing to Kirby for the last 5 minutes?
Hi, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Baseball Podcast. I'm Chuck Ballinger, and with me today is Felicity No Base. Hi, Felicity.
Stop it. You're upsetting Kirby. I've just had a message
Kirby's
come through.
Having a strop.
Oh, I asked. I just did that introduction to him, and he's put himself on mute.
I know. He put himself on mute the second you started introducing.
My canine's nose has gone funny.
Kirby, come back.
Oh, well.
Kirby, come back.
I'm getting all hot and bothered now. Where do we? I'm going to redo that. Hopefully, he'll switch his mute off, and I'll redo his introduction.
No, Adam, what you've done is you've completely thrown the order of things.
No, I haven't.
Kirby's taking it personally, which he really shouldn't. Kirby, please come back on. And
Kirby, come back.
All I did was I was introduced his the next thing he was going to say. Where do we get up to actually? We're talking about the good thing that's happened in the show.
We were talking about the Kirby was pointing out the bad continuity with the kids all having their...
Yes,
but that's at the end.
Ben and I were running off with the idea of them getting all tangled up.
But that's at the end.
Yes, but then you were going to...
missing all sorts of great scenes.
Yes, well, we're going to run over the great scenes. Probably in that car that Sarah Jane...
Well, there's a scene where Rosa and Sarah Jane are finally make up.
Yes.
Because they try and outdo each other with their
adventures. The Daleks. Yeah. Let the Emperor.
There was a few other things she could have mentioned, but it was a really good scene, and a scene put in specifically for the fun of Doctor Who fans.
With David Tennant having to make them laugh off screen, and apparently came on with a really badly drawn on moustache, and that was enough to cause riots.
Yes.
Okay.
And then John Barrowman turned up with no trousers.
I'm not the only person who can come up with these pedants. I was going to say what Debbie just said.
Oh, Dad, now you've got what you've gone and done.
I'm a princess pedant. Thank you very much.
What else we got? There's a scene where obviously K-9 is going to die and the doctor says goodbye to him.
Quite sad.
And also the reference that the headmaster, shoot the tinny doggy thing, or whatever he says, the shooty doggy thing or something like that, which is quite good.
Shooty tin dog or something like that.
No, he said the shooty doggy thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, his batteries went flat quite quickly. But they
notice that the doctor says good dog and the headmaster says bad dog.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
And Rose says bad wolf.
And Brandon Moore says something very funny in the comment thread. He says Kirby bot reactivated. And then he says... isn't Croquette the one with the mallet?
No, that's Timmy.
Oh, right. Okay.
What I was going to say was we are in a car scene during no part of the initial recording, the initial filming of the episode was John Leeson on set. Oh. So most of the time the voice was being done by someone else. And during that scene, the producer, Phil Collinson, did the voice, and he was ecstatic over being K-9.
Yes.
Did he do the K-9 voice, or his attempt at the K-9 voice, or did he just read the lines in his normal voice?
Sort of.
Ben interviewed John Leeson at FantasyCon, didn't he, Ben?
A bit like the real Darth Vader voice without James Earl Jones.
Well, yeah. But that's what Jay Prowse did. Where did we get up to? That's Van Gogh. Van Gogh.
That was Darth Vader, by the way. Just
to ask if we needed to call an ambulance.
I think maybe you should be wearing a face mask while doing that particular sound.
Ames Jones.
Also, when the doctor, Sarah Jane and Rose are, the doctor realizes what the Krillitanes are doing.
Yeah.
That bit, yes.
Rose has this great thing where she says the universe has to move forward.
No, that's Sarah Jane. It's Sarah Jane.
I said Sarah Jane.
No, you said Rose.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm being a pedant.
I've actually several times tweeted this because I loved it, although it was difficult to get into the size of what tweets used to have to fit. The universe has to move forward. Pain and loss, they define us as much as happiness or love. Whether it's a world or a relationship, everything has its time and everything ends.
Aww. Oh, dear.
Also, that is
very good because he could just have everything and have everybody back. But yeah, it's great just to sum it up and basically say it would be able to go back and move forward.
What?
Master, what? May I be pedantic? Oh,
of course.
God's sake.
Rose complains that
the
doctor...
I doubt it, Kirby.
Rose complains that the doctor leaves his companions behind after a while, but in fact, out of 32 companions up to this point, only 4 have been left behind.
I love
Adam,
that.
Yes, what?
Captain Jack, Susan, and Sarah Jane. The rest either died or separated due to circumstances beyond his control, had their memories erased, or decided to leave on their own.
How many died?
Katerina, Sarah Kingdom, Adric, and Chameleon.
Why did you have to ask him that question? God's sake.
I'm pretty sure it's 4, but can Kirby confirm?
Why did I ask that question? Because this is a Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, but it's not about the blooming episode we're talking about.
Are you surprised that I had the answer?
No.
Anyway, I'm where do we go? So it all kicks off in the school. I'm trying to think of any interesting scenes. Oh, yeah, so K-9 basically sacrifices himself and Kaboom. Of course, when he goes Kaboom, because they've moved all these canisters into the hall and all the bats, they don't like it. It burns them because of the way they keep sort of changing themselves so quickly to different forms and stuff, because they haven't had wings for long, apparently. And so the big boomer fries the Krillitanes.
It's fun to see them film that. It's in the Confidential. You can see them filming where they all get covered in splatter.
Of course, we get the goodbye scene, which is essentially a hello scene, because Sarah goes into the TARDIS and sort of has a look around and is invited to go with them. That would have been a nice, just for one episode. Maybe.
Just a couple of rides would have been good. That's what she said.
Pardon? But anyway, she turns it down because she's got a new series to film.
Kirby. The TARDIS needs a Smith.
Yes, that was a good line. But she turns it down because she needs to film a new series.
They didn't have it.
Oh, come on, Kirby. They've just introduced a new K-9. I think they must have known there was a chance they might have been.
No, back then, because they'd already started filming it, hadn't they?
No.
Ooh.
No, it was the success of this particular story which made them decide to.
Yeah, but they were kind of hoping for it anyway.
They were hoping, but no.
Went to all that expense of making a new K-9.
Right, then we have actually got through. I don't think there's anything else to talk about because I've just skipped back through the stuff you wouldn't let me talk about earlier. And now I can say what.
I'm not the one that stopped you.
Stop it, guys.
All right, this is one of my favourite stories. Yes, it's got little stupid continuity
errors. I had something to say about
that
last scene.
What?
I had something to say about that last scene, but you didn't let me.
Oh, quickly, for goodness sake.
Well, the K-9 that they used for most of this episode was specifically constructed for this episode.
Yeah.
But the K-9 at the end is the actual one from the day. The guy who owned it was called up. And they said, can you get to Wales tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? And he did. Matt Irving or something like that.
Matt Irving, yes. Thank you. He was the technical guru of Doctor Who in the classic era. Right, anyway. Right, I'll make it quick. I loved it. Right. Kirby, what did you think?
I loved it.
Kirby, what did you think?
It's one of my favorite stories of all time.
Okay, Debbie, what did you think?
I really like this one.
Good,
very,
right.
Very,
Ben,
very
what did you think?
I thought it was a load of crap.
Why?
Now, you know what you need to do, Master. You need to do the ba-ba-ba and edit in Mary saying that she completely hated it.
Did she?
I don't know.
Huh. Brandon Moore says...
She wasn't on with us 9 years ago.
Oh, she wasn't. I was going to say, what did she say? Oh, okay. Before her time as well as my time. Wow.
Brandon Moore says, in the last scene...
It was...
Sorry, Brandon. I'd like to tell everybody what you wanted to say, but I'm not allowed, obviously. So, carry on. Oh, it's gone quiet again. This is very... Inhospitable. No, that's not it. Unpredictable. For when I can actually say stuff and when I can't on this particular show.
I'll mute myself.
Pardon?
No!
Oh, for God's sake! Right, there's an opportunity to speak. I'd like to listen one of our listeners to say something, and it is this. In the last scene, you can also see a random woman watching Sarah and K-9 walk away at the far right of the screen.
Yeah, I think it was just somebody got caught in the in the photography because they were obviously doing it in a public park. Yeah,
but fan fiction writers can actually write a story about that woman.
That's true.
Yes, right. Kirby.
He put himself on mute because he's sulking again.
Oh, and I've been talking. I forgot I was on mute.
Have you watched any decent documentary since you've been on mute?
How long were you talking for?
I was commenting about things like you were just talking about. For instance, I've never noticed the thing about the woman watching her, and I just turned off the video, so I can't look at it now to see that.
Well, that's interesting, because I'd only just noticed the doctor in the background eating and not eating a chip stuff going on. So,
yeah. I kind of disagree with you on what the continuity you're seeing there, but that's just me.
It's not as blatant as what you're saying about the headphones. But anyway, yes, this is one of my favourites. This is one of those stories which, for me, is one of the Doctor would call a fixed sort of point in time. That it's one of those really important milestone episodes that changes the history of the show in some ways. So obviously, we got the spin-off of the Sarah Jane Adventures. I know they're trying to create a spin-off of Torchwood, but that was something they really wanted to do. But the Sarah Jane Adventures, it came out of this wonderful character, Sarah Jane Smith, and of course we don't see much of K-9 in Sarah Jane Adventures, but it's just, she is just wonderful and quite deservedly got her own show over it, and it's just sad because that show could have gone on and on and on. But this, it's just, it's got, if you don't know Doctor Who and you're watching this, you won't know. I mean, these people obviously jumped on the bandwagon when New Who came out. They weren't the slightest bit interested in Classic Who. And you get this character who I think a lot of young people fell in love with, because Sarah Jane Adventures was exceptionally popular. And even now, Isabella talks about it with great affection because it was that good. And that would have hopefully stirred up a bit of interest for people to go and see her adventures with the Doctor from the classic era. Now, I think it did in some way, and it would have done all the good, all the power of good for Doctor Who as a franchise. But yes, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful, lovely, you know, charming, funny. It's just got everything. It's a slightly melodramatic and pantomime element with the headmaster in some ways, but it's just so good. It's almost perfect Doctor Who for me. Yes, Kirby.
When last time we spoke about this, when we had Sandro on, one of the couple of times that he was on, and he saw this one and had no idea who Sarah Jane was, so he deliberately went out to find out more. Yeah. And that's apparently what hooked him into watching the old ones.
Yeah.
The desire to know what is going on.
So, so are you all you guys on the same book in regards to do you feel this is as important an episode as I feel?
Absolutely.
No, I think you've gone a bit far.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was I think it was very self-indulgent, actually.
To a degree, that's first off this new era, though, isn't it?
To a degree, I think. To a massive degree. It's. It's just very self-enjoyed. Doctor Who fans would love it because it's very Doctor Who-y. But I think if you weren't so aware of Sarah Jane, then yeah, it's a great character, obviously, as weak. But that's because you know the character. And yeah, some people would have gone out and had a look. Some people would have watched Sarah Jane Adventures. Some people would have never seen the character until the finales, obviously. oh, that's a spoiler, sorry. But yeah, no, it's a good episode. I think the ending's a bit lame. I always thought the ending was very lame when, they just had to blow up a vat or two of oil and everyone died. It's a bit quick. Well, all right, you blew up the school.
Well, Kenny blew up the school. He got the credit for it, and it was K-9.
1975, so, you know, I mean. I mean, in that respect, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying it's very self-indulgent, and it's just very, very Doctor Who-y, so say Doctor Who fans would love it, but non-Doctor Who-ys may be a bit less so
my
in love.
My wife's a non-Doctor
well.
Who fan.
I have
she
evidence
loves it.
Against that, but I'll wait until my turn.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
You've had your turn.
I can't. Go on then. Hit me with it.
It had this episode was watched by 8.3 million viewers. Yeah. It had an appreciation index of 85, which is excellent.
Oh, is that
and that and for those 8.3 million viewers, most of them were not original series, classic series fans.
But how many had watched the episode before? How many watched the episode after? It didn't have an exceptionally high. People didn't watch it because it was Sarah Jane, did they? That's
no.
a question.
A lot of my dad had sort of come and gone into New Who, but when Sarah Jane turned up, he made a point of watching that episode.
Okay. So, yeah, but did he watch the subsequent ones?
Yeah, he did. He stayed with it for quite some time and then sort of disappeared
until
with
Russell T. Davis left and Matt Smith took over the role and
well,
Stephen Moffat started writing.
He
went crap.
He didn't like Clara yet.
Okay. Right, okay, what are we going
to
do?
What was not to like about there's... Clara if you had the volume down?
Oh, she's beautiful. I've got my picture taken with her.
Exactly.
Right then.
Master.
What?
This episode was taken off the air in Australia.
Why?
After a student rebel detonated a bomb in a
classroom
killing five students.
That's ironic, considering the new K-9 series went to Australia.
And his the name of this rebel was Ken. So
wow.
Kenny blew up the school.
Wow.
That's
well,
why they pulled it off. By the way, you know, the reason that K-9 wasn't in Sarah Jane that much was because of the Australian series.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a flop.
Yeah. Well, they had two of them, yeah. Anyway, can we move on?
I've got one question before you move on.
Very quickly.
Did Ken survive?
That's a question to you,
know.
Kirby. He doesn't.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Because if he hadn't, then I was going to shout, "Oh my God, they killed Kenny!"
Right,
that's a totally different podcast.
We did that earlier, yeah.
Kirby,
you killed Kenny earlier.
Yeah.
Kirby,
yes,
please unmute your microphone, and it's feedback time.
Ew.
Not allowed to do that anymore.
Aww.
Yes, I am.
Wow, Mary's not on the show this week, so maybe you will.
That's not what she objected to. She objected
it's
to
the throwing up
something
sound
that,
effect,
that was actually started by
me,
Robert.
Oh, was it? No, I started it. Just Robert carried it on and did it nonstop. Kirby, feedback.
No, the a different phrase that I'm not going to say. Anyway, Robert Wince Jr. Looking forward to talking about this episode, but since I missed last week, I had something to say about Tooth and Claw. I think that at the end of the episode, Jack should have stepped out of the shadows and said, you should name it Torchwood, which would have been great seeing Captain Jack going through time, rating 3.5
out of 5. As long as he keeps his clothes on, eh?
And that was his rating for Tooth and Claw.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you for that.
Then my review of School Reunion. This is one of my favorite episodes. The Doctor and Rose find funny happening at a school, being told by Mickey, telling them something strange was going on there. Oh, and if I make an aside about finding out something was funny was going on there, strange was going on there, the TARDISode, which I have posted a link to,
right,
has the little lead up with the UFOs and stuff and Mickey telling them, hey, go investigate this.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, the Doctor is a teacher is something repeated later on. Enter Sarah Jane to investigate what's going on at the school. Later, in a dark corner of the school, they meet up with the Doctor and Sarah Jane at the TARDIS. K-9 is added, and Mickey screaming like a girl at the freeze-dried package wrap. I like, and another side for me, I like where the Doctor says, I could see you with pigtails.
I think that's an incredibly sexist thing to say. Screaming like a girl. Men can scream as well. Men can cry too. It's fine, everyone. Men can cry.
The Krillitanes were an interesting vampire-like villain. You would think that wearing the hazmat suits by the cooking staff would be the kind of suspension to people. What? I'm not understanding his sentence. You would think wearing the hazmat suits by the cooking staff would be kind of suspicious to people at school is what he's trying to say. Okay. Yeah. The idea of the Skeksis paradigm was a nice idea. This sets up Sarah Jane adventures later on. In the end, the school blows up thanks to K-9 and Kenny, becomes the hero. And Sarah Jane gets a new K-9 Mark IV.
Yep.
Makes me wonder how many the Doctor has of him in the TARDIS. True.
I think you said you rebuilt it.
Yeah, but he rebuilds it pretty quickly.
He's the Doctor. He could have gone off somewhere and come back and spent years away rebuilding it. So he's got a time machine.
He hadn't aged. He looked exactly the same.
Not the perfect episode, but one of the best. Great to see Anthony Head as the headmaster. Head. Get that? Head. I enjoyed his work on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Ratings 4 out of 5.
Ooh. Harsh scoring.
And then he also posted a picture of Mickey pulling the plug on the computers.
Yeah.
Brandon Moore.
Yes.
You poor child. Poor thin child. School reunion by Toby Whithouse. This was the episode that opened up the vast history of Doctor Who for me. I was confused about when Sarah Jane had appeared. Surely this was only the second series? But no, my man confirmed for me the show had been around for so much longer. The journey was only just beginning. So it sounds like the same thing happened to Brandon is with Sandra. That's interesting. Liz Sladen is brilliant in this episode. Sarah Jane has always been the most reliable of companions, and her performance has matured in the gap between classic and new series. K-9 is fantastic, as always. And I love his maximum defense mode.
Don't overrate it, mate. You got it right once.
The school setting works well, as does the idea of the Doctor as a teacher. Rose as a dinner lady is something cosplayers should really take up more often. I'm not so keen on Rose and Sarah's bitchiness, but it is in character for Rose. Perhaps not for Sarah, though. And I'm not so keen on retconning Sarah as being in love with the Doctor. I don't see it myself. Anthony Head is amazingly good as a main villain, staying just the right side of scenery chewing. The poolside scene is much lauded, and with good reason. The Krillitanes in general are a fabulous concept, and excellently designed. It's a shame they have never come back for return appearance. The Skeksis paradigm is a serviceable MacGuffin, though once more the plot is mainly resolved by flicking a switch, or in this case, unplugging it. Also, here's a trivia question for you, Kirby, no cheating. During the cafe scene, the song Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy somebody is playing.
Joy Division.
Okay.
Yeah, Joy Division.
And whatever, what other episode do we hear this song? I don't know. Next time, Clockwork Robots, Monsters Under the Bed, and the Doctor Riding a Horse. No, it's not Series 8. It's The Girl in the Fireplace. Duh. Okay, if Brandon's watching the live feed, he needs to answer that because I don't know.
Carry on.
Okay. Robert Wince Jr. says, Liz's last story before was The Hand of Fear from the Tom Baker era, not including the failure of a pilot for K-9 and Company. I corrected
him. And the Five Doctors.
If I may be pedantic, Sarah Jane's last story before was The Five Doctors.
That's what I just said. Sure, I just said that.
If I may be pedantic.
Yeah, I love the way he still asks. Is this a possibility I could be pedantic?
It's weird that he asks when it's a mode he's permanently in.
Yeah, I know.
It's just, defense mode.
maybe Kirby, instead of saying can I, say I'm going to be.
Or just surprise everyone saying I'm not going to be.
be more authoritative in your pedanticism.
Also, I said to Robert Wiss Jr., The Hand of Fear was the story that hooked me into Doctor Who. Have I mentioned that before?
No, was it? That's not been mentioned before.
There's one few more. Okay. Robert Wiss Jr. replied, that's true, I forgot about The Five Doctors, LOL. I posted the TARDIS load.
The other episode, The Love Will Tear Us Apart song by Joy Division, which is a great song. The pilot, Series 10. This episode also features a companion serving chips, says Brandon Moore on the Facebook.
Thank you, Ben. How did you see that one? I didn't see that one.
Because I'm looking at you in the same jumper as you wore last week.
This is my podcasting jumper. No, it's just...
This is Sunday jumper.
It's my
Sunday
jumper. It's my lounging around the house jumper.
Sunday back.
All right.
One more comment on Facebook from Neil James. School reunion, yes, this is a good one. It's like Grange Hill meets the Faculty. Anthony Head gives a terrific performance, and it's fun seeing the 10th Doctor posing as a teacher, which he's clearly enjoying. This, by the way, an aside here, I often will say correctamundo, which I promise not to say again.
Yeah. Ever. Don't ever say that again.
Never, never, never. I say it at least once a week.
You just said
anyway,
it now.
That's
probably once a week too many.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
I'll try and knock that down to about zero times.
Neil James, continuing. This makes it all the more funny that Rose is not enjoying being a dinner lady, although she is loving the chips. They look delicious.
They do.
Mickey has a good role, and I laugh at his scenes with K-9. The story is fun, and it's colorful and well-directed episode with decent monsters. But it's the purely magical return of Miss Sarah Jane Smith that takes this from a like to a love.
Yeah.
She's just gorgeous in every sense of the word. It's great watching her and Billy Piper spar as rival companions.
Yep.
There are points when Sarah talks about her relationship with the Doctor that don't really ring true from her era, but who cares when there's a school to blow up?
Yeah. Nice one, Neil.
4 stars out of 5. I will not read.
No, that's probably a good idea. Yes,
it looks like
that.
My old high school, and I'm so glad it
looks
blew
like
up.
my old comprehensive school in Wales, which is ironic because that's not far away from where the episode was filmed. Right then, Robert Venstre.
I'm not a big fan, by the way. I'm not a big fan of everyone doing scores out of 5. I think that's a bit obvious. I think we need to make it out of 29 or something.
Yeah. How much out of 9? Oh,
out of 83.
And I'm going to say this here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget. Stray feedback.
What? What means? Well, do the stray feedback in a minute.
It's on our messenger feed.
Yeah, no, he's saying about the.
Well, it was on our messenger feed last week.
Yes, and no one reminded me, and it got missed. Robert Vance Jr. says on the live feed, "It's sad when she passed away. It was indeed, and then always a great companion in Doctor Who ever since the Time Warrior, and her short haircut."
I love that her husband appeared in.
And Sarah Jane.
Several
times.
Yeah.
But to be the one to give him part of his Capaldi's costume was brilliant. I love that.
Yeah. What I like is her husband was also in Classic several times.
He was. Mm-hmm. Right. So is that it for... do you want to do the feedback that you mentioned on the...
Do I want to go back and...
No, not the previous week's one. I think we probably...
Not previous week, but we didn't read it.
Okay, right. Okay, you... Debbie, do you have access...
I'll do the previous week.
You do the previous week, and Kirby can do the current one.
Yeah.
And before you all do that, I'm going to do this.
What? That's what Kirby used to do. Or still does.
I did it, but I was muted when I did it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Does that mean I'm going to become pedantic in later life if I'm now doing what Kirby's doing?
Yes.
Okay, great. I look forward to that.
I found the review for last week.
Go on,
Master.
Okay. So this is obviously Tooth and Claw. My feedback. The Muppet Movie. I love the Muppet Movie. Now, this is a good example of an historical and one that's entertaining. While it isn't unhistorical in the older sense, it uses the setting as just a time and place to tell a story. Well, after the 7th Doctor story, Ghostlight, we have another Victorian-era story, again involving a plot regarding Queen Victoria, though this time the Queen herself is present in the story. We had a wolf transformation that really goes all the way back to an American werewolf in London, and that transformation, though this time with the aid of computers. Nothing dates shows these days like CGI. RTD was really selling Torchwood here, wasn't he? I have to say that the Doctor really should have offered Rose's coat when they'd arrived in the TARDIS. Poor Billy looked very cold. And something I really like about the story is that it's the TARDIS team arriving, getting involved in an adventure, solving things and leaving. We are amused. Love that humour about Rose trying to get the Queen to say we are not amused. I didn't enjoy that aspect of it.
I did.
I say that I enjoyed the episode a lot more this time around as it's just a fun little romp. Something that's missing from Doctor Who these days. Oh, and I shall insist on being called Sir Robert now, thank you.
Why?
I hope that I can join you all next week. Bye.
Why Sir Robert?
Because that's the name of the five, isn't it? Sir Robert.
Okay, if you say so.
No, she knights the Doctor, Sir Doctor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten already. Go on then, Kirby, you've got the next bit.
This week, yeah.
Okay. Sir Robert says, I'm having to miss as well. I still have the nurse come to my, probably I should skip all that.
Yeah, just get to the feedback, my number.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Wait, where is
what?
It?
I don't know.
There it is. Yeah, I'll be absent, but here's my feedback.
Grief.
Sarah Jane Smith is back. I have mixed views on this story. On the one hand, it's lovely to see Liz Sladen back in the role, but on the other, they shoehorn in a lot of crap. While the plot is a bit simplistic, it is refreshing to see a standard adventure-type scenario. Though it is odd to see the Doctor and Rose already set up at the school. Oh, and we also got K-9 back. I don't think Sarah got the best writing. I fight with how she used to be. Huh?
Sounds like you didn't get the best writing of the way you're reading it.
Yeah. It says, it fight with how she used to be. That's a quote.
Oh.
Okay. She wasn't really angry when the Doctor left her. I don't think she was expecting him to return to whisk her away. The thing I really hate was the adding jealousy when Sarah and Rose met.
Yeah. Hi.
The show makes it out, as Mickey even mentioned it, the current girl in the X.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, forget
I
about
like
that,
line, though.
I do, too. I love the way Mickey takes Mickey out of the Doctor as well.
The plot of Rose and the Doctor having feelings for one another. The Doctor's an alien, yet he's made to be like just another human man. Grr. And having Rose and Sarah at loggerheads with one another. Why does the show feel the need to make that initial friction? Oh, that's right, because RTD wants his stupid Rose fancies the Doctor crappy plot. Blah! I just know I'm going to hate that romance subplot more as the series goes on.
You see, Robert and I are the same person, but just come on at the same time because it causes a paradox.
Yes. I would have enjoyed it a lot more if they had done away with the friction and jealousy business. So it was lovely to have Sarah and K-9 back. Take care, good night, and Scarecrow!
Oh, thank you, Robert. Right.
Damn it.
What?
He said Scarecrow, I can't say it now.
Right then, so now I can move on to the next bit.
He's responding to me a little bit later.
Is he now? Got this audio feedback.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes.
Oh, Andy, what on earth? We haven't got this audio.
Have you checked your recording levels?
Well, yeah, I mean last week it was perfect, but now he's made me have to fuck
now. Last week? You've got to check it every time, sir.
Well, no, I can't check his audio levels. It's on an email.
You can check it before we start recording.
I'm too busy.
No, don't give me I'm too busy. That's
the one I'm sticking with. It's a very... it's number one in Reese Parton's Book of Excuses, and I always stick to it. I'll never deviate from the I am busy.
What kind of impression do you think that gives to our dedicated listenership?
I'll tell you what, it gives the impression a hard-working person who really hasn't got time to do a podcast on a Sunday evening because he should be doing other things does a podcast.
Some people might get the impression that, you know, the leader of the podcast crew can't be asked. I mean, that's just something.
No, I just like to rely on my listeners who should know better.
Considering earlier you didn't want to finish talking about an episode. Yeah. That we're actually meant to be talking about.
We did finish talking about that. I just fast-forwarded a bit.
Yeah, no, it was like you'd mentioned that you were going to make yourself a peanut butter sandwich just before that, and it was like that just consumed you.
I'm aiming to consume the peanut butter sandwich, actually, Ben, so you got that completely around the wrong way. But because I've now got to do some background audio editing, we can now move on to the next piece of feedback. What did I just say? I've got to do some background audio editing so we can hear it. And in the meantime, Debbie Melrose has some blurb.
I'm sending our feedback a bit early due to being on the road during the next two Sunday podcasts. We will have to listen to the podcast on its release. The Doctor and Rose are working at a school in London that in the last 3 months has achieved an outstanding record. This is 3 months after a lot of UFO activity in the area of the school. This has also attracted an investigative journalist called Sarah Jane Smith. Sarah Jane is introduced by the Nescafe man, Buffy's friend, no, headmaster, to the school staff, one of which is the Doctor. He gushes and shows that he recognises Sarah Jane, but she doesn't recognise him. While checking out the school at night, Sarah Jane hears a howling noise and enters a cleaner's room, only to find a blue police box. On leaving the room, she bumps into the Doctor, and he greets her, then meets up with Rose and Mickey, the Mrs. and the X. They find the school is haunted by strange bat-like creatures. Rose discovers the true meaning of being a Time Lord's companion.
Yep.
K9 Mark III is back, then blown up, then upgraded to Mark IV, ready to appear in spin-off The Sarah Jane Adventures. The kids like that Kenny blew up the school.
They do.
We both enjoyed the story as well. Next week, the lovely Sophie is Madame Pompadour.
Yeah.
Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you, Linda and Terry Miles. Isn't it nice to be able to do a synopsis on the story without getting interrupted at all? Anyway, due to my genius ability to do jiggery pokery to audio files, here's Andy Nanny.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes. It's Andy Nanny here. It's Sunday afternoon. It's about 10 to 1 in the afternoon. I'm just having a nice bowl of yogurt and muesli before taking Storm again off to National Trust Place and into Messy Church. Second time I recorded this, then I recorded it. Closed down with Dusty and didn't click save.
Bloody
and before
hell.
Anyone says, no, I have not had a drink. Oh, by the way, I've actually been catching up some of the back catalogue, and I recently listened to the Five Doctors and Shrina Shalka. Well, am I ever going to live down the fact that I said...
If people would do their audio properly, I wouldn't have these blimmin' issues.
And no, Andy, you're never going to live down the fact you fell asleep.
Have you not got some sort of audio editing software there where you can check the levels?
Well, I was trying to check the levels, but sadly, it went funny in the middle of me playing it back.
Sorry,
no,
Andy,
no.
It, but no, like, get it.
What?
Have you not got something free? Like, I think it's called Audacity or something, where you can like, open it up as a waveform and see what it looks like.
Adobe Audition.
That's even better. That's like a professional one, Adam. What are you doing with that?
I'm doing that, but sadly, in the middle of playing it, I tried to sort of move the levels up, and it went too far, and then it wouldn't let me turn it back down again. All right, let's try that again. This is great stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Was that the right answer?
We will reiterate that the last few weeks, Andy's audio has been absolutely bang on, correct levels and everything. For some reason, he's decided to have his iPad in the other room while doing this particular audio. Maybe you should do a little sub thing. I've done this in the other room. You need to whack up the audio levels a bit. Right, here we go. I'm going to turn it up here without playing it. Maybe this is what I need to do. And I just turn it up there without playing it, and then play it and see what happens. Here we go. Take three.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes. It's Andy Lennon here. It's Sunday afternoon. It's about 10 to 1 in the afternoon. I'm just having a nice bowl of yogurt and muesli before taking Storm again off to National Trust Place and Intimacy Church. Second time I recorded this, because I recorded it, closed down with Dusty, and didn't click save. And before anyone says, no, I have not had a drink. Oh, by the way, I've actually been catching up some of the back catalogue, and I recently listened to the Five Doctors and Shrina Shalka. Well, am I ever going to live down the fact that I fell asleep in the episode? I don't think I am. Anyway, school reunion, thoroughly good episode. Not quite sure what the Colour Team would achieve and how they would achieve becoming Master of the Universe. It never quite was explained, it was vague. But anyway, it didn't really matter because they were secondary. The main thing was about bringing Sarah Jane Smith back, and it was wonderful because she was straight back into the role. What was really good was the byplay between her and Rose, because obviously Rose thought she won and now realises there's more than one. And it was like, you know, as Mickey said, he said, you couldn't meet your ex. I've only ever had that once. But by that time, my ex wasn't interested in anything like me. She had a different taste, shall we say. But that was fun. So that was fine. It's interesting that I don't think Rose actually knows how many incarnations the Doctor's been through. Obviously, she's seen him regenerate, but she doesn't know that this is the 10th incarnation.
I would have thought he would have mentioned
it. 11th incarnation of the War Doctor, we didn't know that by then. And I don't think Sarah ever mentioned that she'd seen the same thing, and that, you know, hers were the third and the fourth a long time. And she wasn't jealous at all, never was jealous. But I think it's interesting that you get to understand that, and the way that then Billy Piper and Liz Sladen pull it off by them becoming... Mm-hmm. I mean, when the Doctor walks in, they're just in hysterics over him. I think that really was a very good piece. But Liz Sladen was straight back in. And when she meets the Doctor first time, the Doctor knows who she is, but she doesn't obviously know. But then when they meet at school, I think she sensed it and understood and said, you are, aren't you? I mean, obviously, having seen the TARDIS, a bit of a giveaway... But, you know, I think there's obviously something about the Doctor. And I think the Doctor here was really, you know, a really good role played here, because he exuded menace with Mr. Finch. You know, I'm going to space it, I'm going to stop you. He doesn't shout. Doesn't raise his voice. I mean, he's very much like when he did in Family of Blood, when they had a very similar thing.
Yes.
He just shows himself so in control. He's so up top and he's there. I think that really did play that well. I mean, Anthony Head, he was good. I mean, again, he exuded a quiet menace and a bit loud at times as well. I think some good moments, you know, when the one member of staff gets covered in the table and says, she's fine, and said bang, and the screaming, no, she's fine.
Yeah.
I'm a bit daft about you, know, the oil itself kills them, but, and also the intelligent chips. Dear God, what will they think of next? But, yeah, Billy Piper, or Rose, rather, burgers. Becoming intelligent, and then obviously completely losing it, going back to the way she was, which we would prefer. Mickey had a few things to do. I love the bit when he goes, I'm going off, which way is the master department? And it must have been great fun. I don't wonder, did he actually get to drive the car through the window? Because that would have been terrific fun. Probably wasn't, probably done by, you know, Stuart Fell or one of the stuntmen, something like that. But it was a bit gormless, sure, you know, you were in a car, you were in a car. And, of course, K-9. K-9 Mark III. I mean, what has Sarah Jane been doing with him? You know, she really kept him clean. And they said he couldn't get the parts to fix him. And you can't obviously, you know, trundle down to your local Currys and say, can you have a look at this, please? Or take your local car dealer. But you thought she might actually sort of clean him up a bit. And, of course, we get K-9 Mark IV at the end. I never saw the animated. I think it was Australia, wasn't it? It's probably out there. And probably somebody can point me towards somewhere I can get and watch it. I can watch K-9 and Company, which, yeah, let's not go there. But it was good seeing K-9, but he's sort of slow as ever, you know, when everyone goes running off and he's struggling along after them, you know. I think Tom Baker had the best idea, pull his scarf around, anything and pull him. But there's two really good moments that stood out. And the first one, well, three in fact, of course. The first one was about the Doctor explaining, you know, that, you know, to Rose, you know, you will die, you'll get old, I won't. And that set it very well for when Finch offered him basically immortality to everybody else. And Sarah Jane said, no, people have to move on, people have to die. So it's an interesting story. Again, he's actually asked that a couple of times, but, you know, why do people die when he's only five? But he started to get a grasp of it. But the two link together, and it just shows, you know, the Doctor has to move on. You know, he can't stay with people forever because they will eventually die and he goes on by himself. And you understand how many people he's been with, and that's the way it's going to be. The second one was saying goodbye to Sarah Jane. I mean, you know, he said, say goodbye. And of course, we didn't know that it wouldn't be too long before we actually did lose Liz Sladen. So actually, see, you know, it was good in a way, because if she's in closing, there was a little prick in my eye and thought, you know, she was so young, she was only 60 when she died. And that's, you know, scary. It's not much older than me, is it? But so that's it. But the real punch the air moment was when she walked into the TARDIS and said, you've redecorated. And it's wonderful. I mean, especially the Doctor said, you like it? Yes, I do. It's sort of a twist on what's normally said. But it just, it's that something that fans of the classic Who, I think everyone is a true fan, would appreciate, but you didn't have to. You didn't add anything to it if you didn't understand it. For those who did, it's just a little bit more. Oh, and I watched bits of it, Storm again. He said the Corridane were like raging Velociraptors, because he is the local dinosaur expert, as he'd know. Anyway, till next time, be seeing you.
Thanks, Andy. It's brilliant. Andy actually picked up on a couple of things that we may have talked about if I hadn't skipped to the end of the episode.
Yeah, I was about to bring up some that he touched upon. But go ahead.
The conversation between you know, Rose and the Doctor, that was quite a key conversation in the story, and the bit where he picks up Sarah Jane and he says, "My Sarah Jane," and gives her a hug. That was really, you know, sort of choking back. I think, like Andy says, it's because it was all, even though the Doctor appeared in Sarah Jane Adventures, the 10th Doctor, you almost imagine that's him really saying goodbye to Elizabeth Sladen. And it's really, really moving. It's beautifully done, and it's just got more gravitas now because of what happened to Elizabeth Sladen afterwards. Yeah, sorry, Kirby, you were going to say something.
Two things. First of all, when you decided to skip everything, I was about to say that this is something brought up during the commentary, that they lost track of how many Krillitanes there were, because they actually say, the Doctor says in one scene, the scene as they're coming out of the school, how many there are, but then that doesn't match the number which are hanging from the ceiling, and And it also doesn't count the ones that were the one that was exploded. So that's one okay. thing. The other thing more directly that he just reminded me of is with Sarah and K-9. Why does she have K-9 in her car?
I don't know. Maybe she's got enough room for him in the house.
Why does Sarah Jane have K-9 in her car?
that's a good question. And why?
Oh, what's the punchline? That's a no brilliant setup for a gag.
She doesn't know the doctor's there, and she's got K-9, a non-functional K-9 in her car.
Because he wanted to cross the road. Surely that's the answer.
I know. The actual answer is it's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Anyway, well, thank you, Anne. It's a great bit of feedback. I have to say, as one of, I'm glad I persevered with that despite the sound issues.
Yes.
One of his best bits of feedback.
It was a little hard for me to understand parts of it because he talks so fast and his accent. Oh, still.
Well, it's just Andy being Andy. Right then, we have this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
School Reunion by Toby Whithouse. Fan favourite Liz Sled in his back as warm up to having her own series. The old companion and the new get very competitive at first, but eventually become friends. Chips are back. Last week Liam had a character called Chip.
That's right.
Mickey gets character development by joining the TARDIS crew. Rose and Sarah compare notes about being companions. Mickey and K-9 compare notes about being technical support. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Oh, Master.
Oh, God, here we go. It wasn't that last week, I know.
Where Mickey gets character development by joining the TARDIS crew. Yeah. That reminds me, take Rose's expression when Mickey volunteers to stay in the TARDIS.
Yes,
indeed. It's just great.
Yeah. You say she,
oh, no!
She can't have him to herself. Right. Leaves us just the one last bit of blurb, and Mr. Shoveler has been digesting it as we speak.
I have indeed. One second. La, 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 la. I am good to go.
I feel I should play the old Hovis bread music over this feedback, but I don't think it'll be long enough.
I don't think it would be. I think you'd have to get the 12-inch mix of that.
I'll carry on.
K-9 and Company, Episode 2, or the Power of Krillitanes. Dear 20 Megabatters, School Reunion is, of course, a closely studied critique of the academy system in the UK. Sorry?
Sounds like Billy Kirkbright. Slightly deeper. Well,
I was in character, darling.
Okay.
It depicts the delivery of education being influenced by interests other than the advancement of educated and the exploitation of those being educated. The specialism of this academy is obviously universal domination. Resolving problems by exploding the school is a commentary of how difficult it can be to sort out a failing academy.
Well, I'm going off to Welsh now.
I'll do Welsh if you want. It should be noted that Welsh Sundays, some might say, that Mickey...
I'll give up on the Welsh because I think I'm sliding...
It suddenly went from Welsh to Manchester and now back to Indian.
Yeah, I'm going a little bit too far that direction. It should be noted that while some might say that Mickey really is the tin dog, in fact, he is way less useful than that at this point. He hasn't even got a laser in his nose. At least the only inappropriate behaviour K-9 has ever exhibited is rolling into the sea. We also learn that new K-9s are incredibly easy and quick to construct.
Yeah.
All in all, School Reunion is an excellent demonstration of how to make great use of the show's past without alienating the more recent audience, by proving this could be done may well have helped bring the show as a whole closer together.
The integration of a long-departed companion serves to illuminate the Doctor's relationship with Rose, as counterpointed by Sarah's, Elizabeth Sladen's ability to slip back into the character she left behind so long ago is nothing short of remarkable. Anthony Head's performance is outstanding, and once again we see what a perfect actor we have as the Doctor in yep. David Tennant, who raises his game and everyone else's game at every juncture.
Yes.
One thing to note here is the extraordinary variety of stories around this time, in which every week is a marked contrast to everything around it.
Yeah.
This property of Doctor Who must be a key to its long-term success, and it is seldom better in this regard than it was at this time. Absolutely. But we've said that many times. This was golden.
Yes.
Who?
Yeah.
Back to the review. This story is perhaps 10 episodes too short, as who did not want to see Sarah Jane Smith stay in the programme until the end of the series at least?
Yeah.
Up next, Doctor Who and the French Concubine, or the Clockwork Courtesans TikTok videos. Those are my thoughts. Hold on. Those are my thoughts. Counselor Alan D. Bircher. Hold on, that is even more remarkable than you're thinking, because he's a Labour councillor. He's the one. We found it. That's incredible. And the whole country, we found the one Labour councillor who's left. Well done, Tim.
Oh, by the way, you're really talking about party form.
Alan T.
Yeah, well done,
about
Alan.
That's bloody really time, Alan. Yeah.
Absolutely. He's been trying to. I think since the Third Doctor was around, wasn't it?
I just imagine well done, Alan wearing a like a Union Jack waistcoat for some reason. Now he's a councillor.
No, because that would mean he'd be part of UKIP.
What does that mean?
What, they're wearing a Union Jack waistcoat?
Yes, Kirby's questioning what a Union Jack waistcoat is, mate. Yeah, out of all of that we just talked about, that was the one thing the American didn't get. Yeah.
It was a councillor.
A councillor. What's this? Right, so, Kirby, so we have local councils,
yes.
Right, and obviously they have councillors in them, and they're much more small, much more lower scale, basically, than politicians and MPs.
It's like it's a micro parliament, isn't it? Like,
isn't it? Yeah.
It's like a mini version of the national parliament, but it's a local thing.
Okay.
You know, like you've got the MLB, and that's at the top. Underneath that, you've got like the AA and the It's kind of
that's right. Make a sports reference that I'm going to understand. Actually, I do understand.
I know nothing about sports, Kirby. I'm afraid. I mean, I could be pedantic, but that's your job.
Yes. Very well done, Alan, and very well done, Richard.
Well done, Alan.
Our mutual friend,
who
also. Managed to become a Labour councillor in our neighbourhood, and to become a Labour councillor in our neighbourhood, which has been Conservative for many years, it's just because Richard is a jolly nice bloke and totally and utterly genuine, and that's
why
he is a Labour councillor.
I think one of my friends, who you may not know, has also been elected on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, who's that then?
His name is Ian.
Ian?
Ian, yeah, I think he got elected the other day as
is
well.
Is he a Labour councillor, did you say?
Hold on, let me have a look. See.
We don't normally talk politics on the show, but it's only because our friends have managed to achieve a certain status in an election. What?
I can get back to Doctor Who.
Oh my God, hang on, that's got to be worth one of these.
This week we had Anthony Head from Merlin.
Yes.
And next week we have another actress from Merlin.
Who played Gwendolyn. Yes. And then next series, a couple of series on, when Catherine Tate is the companion, we have Merlin himself.
Yes.
Yes. And then when we get the 11th Doctor, we get the chap who's in Umbrella Academy, he's in the 11th Hour, isn't he? But
I've never seen Umbrella Academy. I need to watch it.
You do.
Oh,
yes.
I love Umbrella Academy.
It's so good. I've got an Umbrella Academy face mask. Sorry, Ben, you're going to say something.
He's been elected to Ryde Town Council Binstead Ward.
Does
he have a ticket to ride?
Shut up,
only
Kirby.
If he's on the bus.
That joke has never been heard before. Congratulations. Right then.
I bet the citizens of Ride really have. They're tired of that one, I'm sure.
Well, it's spelled differently for starters, but there you go.
Yes, but it sounds the same, Adam.
It sounds the same.
I was going to look up something then. Oh, darn. I was going to look up something to do with the sponsors. Oh, Lavazzi. That's what I was going to look up because I got an email from Lavazzi. Here
who
it is.
Who won.co.uk, you say?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
No, Lavazzi.
No, it was Lavazzi.
Lavazzi.co.uk.
Yay!
The email says...
Spangly Great Britain Union Jack web, waistcoat.
Hey? No, if you join Lavazzi's thing where you get email... What do they call it when you get emails off people you want to get
mailing
emails off?
A spam list.
Anyway, so the abandoned Doctor Who cartoon. Oh, God, I clicked on it and it disappeared. Oh, that's annoying. Oh, it's back here. Yeah, the abandoned Doctor Who cartoon series. Before the series returned in 2005, a special Doctor Who animation was commissioned. This was meant to pave the way for a whole new season of adventures with the actor Richard E. Grant at the controls of the TARDIS. But why was it abandoned after just six episodes? Well, you can read why if you go to lavazzi.co.uk or actually blog.lavazzi.co.uk, where there are lots of blogs and little write-ups about various things to do with Doctor Who, along with fan fiction. But I'm not going to read all that out because I want people to go to their website and buy stuff. Right.
So
whowon.co.uk?
Is it whowon.co.uk?
I'll just type it in and see. .co.uk. It is. Funny, that, isn't it?
Amazing.
Doctor Who Magazine 564. With a friend of the show, Paul McGann, on the cover. Featuring interviews with Harry Van Gorkum, Christopher Eccleston.
Isn't he your cousin as well? Burn.
He might be. I haven't managed to...
He's got to be, Adam. He's got to be.
He's got to be somewhere, yeah.
He might be.
Somewhere down
know.
The line, yeah.
He could well be, but I haven't managed to find out for certain. So until I find out for certain, it's a no. Right then. So yeah,
I'd say probably.
Magazine, 564. You can buy that and get it delivered to your door in the United States of America, and you can buy it from whowon.co.uk along with Planet of Dust and Other Stories, which is a CD format, which I believe is Big Finish, but there's looks like on the cover, which is tiny, we have several Doctors in it, but it's so tiny. Oh, it says John Coleshaw.
Next,
John Coleshaw.
You must be related to John Coleshaw.
John Leeson.
I'm pretty sure.
You
actually,
interviewed John. See, Toby talked over that bit, Ben. I was trying to sort of segue into your interview or interviews with John Leeson at FantasyCon.
I haven't said anything for several minutes.
Ah, but I know. I was about to say something about that, and Kirby did, in fact. But you have to listen to the show back to find out the point, because I would have said the word John Leeson and Ben in the background. No one was listening anyway. Terry Malloy, Louise Jameson, friend of the show, Dan Starkey, and Jeffrey Beavers. Yes, yeah, so that's The Planet of Dust and Other Stories. That sounds quite good, doesn't it, Deborah?
Yes.
yeah.
So you're saying that you're not related to any of the Doctors?
I bet he is.
I don't know. I've started tracing back...
Reckon?
Well, I was going to answer the question then, but never mind.
Well, because what I've done is I've done a bit of my own research, and I've found out that you are related to Patrick Troughton 53 generations ago by someone called Crispin the Fish Slapper.
Well, if it was 53 generations, Ben, you'd be going back to before the birth of Christ, so it's probably gone about
that's
a little
right,
bit too
that's
far.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah, because that's right. It's because he was a fish slapper, apparently.
Only 30 generations back to William the Conqueror. Anyway, Power of the Daleks Special Edition DVD. I must get that.
Welcome to the Doctor Who History Podcast.
Crispin the Fish
I'm ignoring
slapper,
you. Driver, David Llewellyn, Torchwood story.
Along. This week, special
Let's
guests on the show
up.
Include Maria the Nautilus Markle.
What? The fourth Doctor Dalek Universe,
English,
Dalek what? Protocol. I must actually get all these fourth Doctor Big Finish stories because I'm really
and
eager
William
to hear them.
The Mangle wears off.
First Doctor Adventures 5. Who plays the first? Oh, of course.
Colin the Flea Pit Man.
It's that chap. What's his name? Who played the first Doctor? Oh, David Bradley. He plays the first Doctor in some of these Big Finish audios. Of course, Lone Centurion, featuring Arthur Darvill. A Master featuring Eric Roberts. So lots of really good audios. And, of course, if you love your Doctor Who literature, whoan.co.uk are complete experts.
Is that whoan.co.uk?
Doctor Who literature. Right, iwheroes.co.uk. Which is particularly referenced to people living in the United Kingdom, where you can have your stuff shipped. So they have.
Say again.
Let's see what's coming up new, and I'll have to log in to. Because if you log in, actually join their website. I don't think they call it logging in, do they? They call it registering. I got a Stan Lee figure the other day. It's a Stan Lee. When Noah Stanley does these cameos, Stanley he did a cameo
who?
In Iron Man. Anyway, did a cameo in Iron Man in which he gets mistaken
you
for Hugh
Hefner.
You mean
Stanley as in the people who make the tools?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Yes. Spot on.
I've got a couple of yellow drill bit cases that say Stanley on them.
Brilliant,
that
Kirby. Well done.
That could be the case.
Fantastic. I'm not trying to... They haven't actually paid me any money, Stanley tools, to do any...
Well, yeah, you keep saying Stanley.
That's right, I do. Because that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, I can't find the particular.
You mean
thing.
Stanley Gibbons?
No, I don't know who that is.
No, Stanley Gibbons.
Did he do rubbers in London?
Didn't he create erasers? Yeah, so what we've got coming up here.
What about Stanley Baxter?
I can't find the new stuff, Deb. It's not working.
Stanley Baldwin. Do you mean Stanley Baldwin?
No, Stanley Matthews. Just as a
Danny Matthews,
reference.
the old footballer. Right. Right.
Ah,
okay.
Here we go. Heroes pre-orders. I found it. Right, what we've got coming up? We've got Funko Pop vinyl Halo Infinite coming soon.
Remember Halo James?
Of that. The Elvis 68 comeback special, which was really quite amusing Funko Pop with. They've got him curling his lip and sort of crooning.
Has he got his leg stuck out as well?
Yeah. And Funko Pop
vinyl.
Is he
eating a hamburger?
and sat on the toilet straining. No, Simpsons Witch Marge and Harry Potter Ron Weasley with that strange sort of woolly thing he had on in one of the films. And then there's a Pop plush cuddly sort of Harley Quinn figure. But yeah, if you go to iwheroes.co.uk, peruse their website, find some really cool stuff. Like I say, I got myself a Umbrella Academy face mask, and it's the first face mask I've bought that isn't a surgical one that actually fits my face. It's really good. Right then, that concludes the feature that we tried desperately hard to do for our sponsors that paid us money to actually have a podcast on the Podbean page. But thanks everybody anyway for paying us that money and not getting a suitable plug for your business.
Give them a plug, man. why don't you do like a feature on the podcast where you talk about what they do?
Yeah, okay, I'll probably do that next week.
Good idea. You'd probably find they'd appreciate it.
Right, then, next time, there was a little preview at the end of the episode, and it's the story where David Tennant meets his ex-bird. Which
yeah,
I think at the time was his
on this,
current one. So, and that is Sophia Miles, is it? Is that her name?
Sophia, yeah. She reads a lot of...
not as good as Eve Miles.
I was into listening to CDs about rainbow fairies, and she narrates all of them. And her voice is just, every time I hear it, I'm just, thinking about Clockwork Droids.
She's in a brand new production that's on one of the streaming services, and I can't remember what it's called. But Deb was watching it the other day. But,
a screaming service? Do they just go and scream?
Yeah, they're really cool.
God. Right, so next week, I can't remember the name of the story, but I'm sure somebody pedantic will provide
girl
me with it.
Girl in the Fireplace.
Girl in the Fireplace, yes.
My favourite New Who story,
and
so
course,
I'll see if I can get him to say it.
It's got a French king in it, Louis the... something or other.
And it was written by Ben's favourite showrunner.
And it just so happens that the character, that Louis, the whatever, is one of my distant cousins. So I just dropped that one in there.
I think you're related by Francesca, the washer lady.
I want to be related to Crispin.
No, I'm afraid that's only... Well, actually, of course you're related to Crispin as well, because you're from the other white. So you're related to her. Kimmy's sick, sister.
I think I might also be related, but it's not been proven. Or Deb, sorry, Deb might be related, but it's not. Not you, Deb. The one that I
Deb's related to you.
Abide by all the rules for. She may be related to a certain Hammond that dobbed in King Charles I so he could get carted back to London and get executed.
Richard Hammond?
Might have been called Richard, because I think lots of men in at that time were called Richard. So it could well be, yes.
And of course, those two people are related by a lovely fella back from the 14th century called Clarkson the Faster.
Why are you dropping in Top Gear references? That doesn't make
any
sense.
Because it's Hammond, Richard Hammond.
I know that, but never mind.
That's why we're talking about Top Gear and you're not.
It was either that or an organ. I thought I'd see a clear of organ.
Anyway, right then. We were talking about peanut butter sandwiches earlier on, and I think I need to comfort eat.
Yeah, but don't ever put your organ in a peanut butter sandwich.
You need chips.
Because Deb's had a COVID vaccine, she can't drink anything for a couple of weeks. So,
what? A couple of weeks.
You're not supposed to drink anything for at least 2 weeks after your COVID jab.
What?
Because it's recommended. If you read,
water.
If you read the blurb that comes with it, it says recommends you do not drink any alcohol for at least actually 3 weeks. But we sort of bent it a little bit back to two. But yeah, she's not going to.
Is somebody
have a
special
job?
Silly leaflets, because that didn't say it on ours. Silly. I said could have a glass of wine afterwards. Geez.
Well, it said it on my one.
I said neck a bottle of vodka.
Actually, Google it, Deb. It's on Google. Everything. It's on Wikipedia. Sure, that's on Wikipedia. So it must be true. Now we're talking about
the side effects on the alcohol rather than the actual drugs in you. Yeah.
Can I just say,
especially if you're driving home, make sure you neck the whole bottle in the car park before you drive away.
Because it won't take.
I'm sure that's what it said.
Until 15 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway,
as long as you live within 10 minutes, drive your car.
15 minutes wait was for.
I just wanted.
I thought I'd do my 15 minutes wait at home.
I just wanted to mention about school reunion and the fact that K9 was sport back, and it's very sad for me that the person who
we're getting back to talking about Doctor Who. I can wake up.
Jesus,
okay, yes,
Christ. The person that killed him off, John Nathan Turner, I would love to have him to be alive long enough to see this story and for RTD to essentially do a one finger salute to him and his murdering of K9. Because he not only did he remove the character from the series, he did it in a very sort of a way that was quite
brutal.
There was no respect for
yeah,
the
no, character. It was brutal savaging brutal, of yeah. K9, basically.
Yes. Right, so next week.
And the Girl kids and the loved K9. I don't see what
yes,
the problem is.
I loved
K9. I loved K9.
No,
I
loved
K9. When I first saw it.
No, I loved K9. Sorry.
I have kicked K9.
Yeah, well, that's you.
Do you know, it's a sad thing. Talking about my
Crispin.
Saddest thing of all, talking about my K9 here, size. Debbie, is you remember John Leeson wrote on my K9 at the Fanticon?
Yes.
Well, all the writing is all virtually all disappeared off it. It's all almost.
I've got a picture of it.
Almost gone. It's a little square. You can't even see the word Leeson. Oh, you can barely make it out. So I'm really sad that alleged permanent pen. Was nowhere near as permanent. Mind you, it might be because Deb's cleaned it with some polish, but we won't have anything.
You should have put some tape over it or something.
Well, if I'd known that normal pledge would remove permanent marker, I would have done that. Anyway, next time, Girl in the Fireplace. So anyway, thanks for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Do continue to do so, even though you don't. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Crispin Fish Slicer.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.